Chuck Chat Technorama for Sunday, September 11th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. Ambifacient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O-deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplanaration. Retrocabulator.
Welcome to another episode of Chuck Chat Technorama. I'm your host, and with me as always is my trusty cohort, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Chuck?
I'm wonderful. This is show number 39, and it's our nine-month anniversary. Chuck Chat was founded on this date in history on December 11, 2004, but we won't go into that quite yet. We've got a little bit of news tonight. We've got a little bit of software review. We might even have to call Lenny back because he left us that message a while ago.
Scared of that.
But before we go into that, let's take these messages from our sponsor. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings. On this day in tech history for September 11, 2005... It's September 11th, the 254th day of the year. There are 111 days left in 2005. It was on this day in 1858 that George Mary Searle discovers the asteroid 55 Pandora. And in 1911, Middle Tennessee State University is founded in Murfreesboro, Tennessee as Middle Tennessee Normal School. What does that have to do with tech, you ask? Murfreesboro is where George Starcher is from. George is the co-host of In the Trenches podcast. That's what the tech tie-in is. George Stibitz pioneered the first remote operation of a computer on this date in 1940. And it was on 1970 the Ford Pinto was introduced. The Bay Area Rapid Transit System, or BART, begins regular service on this day in 1972. And in 1981, the Pee Wee Herman Show airs as a special on HBO. And of course, on this date in 2001, September 11th attacks destroy the World Trade Center in New York City and part of the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, and down a passenger airliner in Pennsylvania. In total, almost 3,000 are killed. Lorne Greene died on this day in 1987. Famous actor, one of his roles was Commander Adama on Battlestar Galactica, the old one. Max Fleischer, animator, passed away on this date in 1972. And Joseph Nicolay, the famous mathematician and explorer, died on this day in 1843. And in 1987, this was proclaimed 911 Emergency Number Day by President Reagan. And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 11th, 2005.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
All right, Craig, we've got some listener feedback.
Yes, once again, we have some feedback from James. I guess he's got a first name only, kind of like Prince or Madonna.
Or Cher.
Yeah, or her too.
Famous people. But, this is the James.
Yeah, this is the James. The email he wrote in was, he said he liked the show, he's been listening ever since the beginning, never missed one. We appreciate that a lot. He was looking for an email client with these requirements: simple to use, reliable, runs on Windows, and is freeware or shareware. He is familiar with Thunderbird as a replacement. He says he was looking for something other than Outlook Express that his grandfather was having trouble with, which, you know, lots of people I know have had trouble with Outlook Express. My suggestion to him was either give him, I don't know, Thunderbird is probably one of the better free clients out there. I would suggest give your grandfather a Gmail account.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I use Gmail exclusively really now. I use Thunderbird to read those Gmail accounts, but not all the time. I think Gmail works great. The interface is simple. It's all right there.
Good idea. No, that's, if he needs a Gmail invite, let us know. I think it is still invite only, even though it's out of beta, it's public. You still need an invite.
Actually, you can get one if you have a SMS on an enabled phone that sign up for. They'll send you a code via SMS, and you can log in. So it's not exactly exclusive to invites only now.
Okay.
So it's actually open to the public.
So even easier. Excellent.
So I would say Gmail, because all you got to do is give them a browser, Firefox, and, you know, and he's good to go. That's the only thing he's got to remember. And if his machine crashes, his email doesn't go with it.
Thank you, James.
Oh, my God. They grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
I'm the one.
Why do I feel slighted every time I hear that?
There can be only one.
Yes.
On to the news.
Yep. I think you were wanting to talk about Derek from Skepticality.
Yes. Thank you for the cue in. I'm all over the place on this office. Derek from Skepticality. Skepticality is one of the better known podcasts out there in the podosphere. If you don't listen to it, very good, thought-provoking show. I have only heard bits and pieces of it from time to time. I'm not a regular listener, so I must confess. But whenever you hear some news like this of people that at least you've heard of or that you're familiar with or you know through a friend of a friend, just wanted to extend our well wishes to Derek to get well soon. Friday he had, I'm not sure if it was an accident or just a natural occurrence or something that happened. I don't have all the details, but Friday he was unconscious in the hospital, and the outlook was not that good from the sounds of it. He may be laid up for a while, so if you're a regular listener of Skepticality, you may be missing a few episodes, and everybody here wishes all the best to Derek and to Swoopy, his co-host, and just can't imagine what they're going through right now. Very, very tough situation, so all the best to them. On the a little lighter side of things, friend of mine in the podosphere, Richard Vobes, has broken new ground. He's using a service called camstreams.com. Friday night,
He did his Friday night beer show with a streaming cam so that while the podcast was being produced and they were getting schnockered.
Was that a streaming can?
No, streaming cam, webcam, webcam. Oh.
I was thinking you said beer, and I sounded like you said can. I got all excited there for a minute.
yeah. I'm not going to go anywhere near that. Streaming, steaming, can, cam. There's a lot of different permutations you could do out of that. But Saturday, I couldn't make the Friday one, fortunately, because I was at work trying to get all my reports and things done. But Saturday, he did the same thing. With his two kids, and you could watch the cam, and the chat room was going up, and put comments into the chat room, and while they were playing a segment, they would respond to the chat room and respond via the camera. So you could say, hey, Georgie, make the face, and she'd walk up to the camera a few seconds later and make this goofy face, knowing exactly what you meant. Hmm. Well, today he did a live call-in show. He had Jeff Mahoney in Ohio, who has a voiceover IP service, so you could IM Jeff in the chat room. Give him your phone number. He would call you and patch you through to the UK, and then you'd show up on the podcast minutes later. And it was cool. Just like a real radio call-in show. Richard would be cued that says, we've got Chuck Tomasi on the line, and he would pick up, and we'd start our conversation. And this was all free, and it was all done live, and it was really cool. But when you hear the podcast later, it will just come out as sort of an archive of this live conversation.
So that's pretty cool.
That was awesome. That was really neat. He's using camstreams.com. We may be setting up something like that. I can't guarantee that we will. As much as I want to, I don't want to sacrifice any quality or do anything to endanger our Skype connection, because that's our only link between Craig and I. And if that starts dropping out, or we get Craig going, well, I was looking at Firefox and... that's not the kind of podcast we want. We want the audio to be as crisp and clean, and if we can pack other things on top of that, we'll give that a shot. The nice thing about camstreams.com, this is not an ad, we have no affiliation, I'm just doing a product review. Mm-hmm. There's only one stream going from my computer to their service, and then they farm out all the extra clients. So when you go to blah 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 dot camstreams.com, you will be picking it up from them. You never see my IP address or any of the other information like that. It's all handled on their end, and up to 15 connections for free. I don't know what it costs after that, but if we get more than 15 viewers, I'd be really amazed. And another avenue for doing podcasting and reaching people in the podosphere. I don't know if I'm going to hook up the Logitech or the Sony camcorder or how we're going to quite do that yet. I don't think it works through the Mac yet. So I do have I do have the Windows machine running the Skype call right now.
Well, we're all about touching out and reaching out and touching people.
I'd like to be there on that forefront if we can.
Okay.
Hey, this is Mike McBride from the One Man IT Department weblog, and you are listening to Chuck Tomasi. He's chatting. His site is chuckchat.com. And you thought podcasting was complicated.
Palm Source is sold to Access. This is not Microsoft Access. This is a Japanese company in charge of mobile content provider stuff.
If it was Microsoft Access, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
No, me neither. but this was the big news on Friday that, remember a while back, Palm had divided their hardware and their software into Palm One, which was the hardware, and Palm Source. Now, mm-hmm. I seem to remember them getting back together, but apparently not. It's no longer that way.
I thought so, too.
They sold... I think they just went back at one in name, but there were still two different subsidiaries. Somebody can correct me on that. But we'll have a link to the article right on Palm Source's press releases about this. What does it mean for the Palm community? Good question. Is this the end of the Palm platform? I'm not sure how this is going to be affected, but I'm sure it's going to affect things radically in the near future. I can't guarantee that my next PDA will be a Palm or not, or whether we'll be running Palm OS or a variation of Linux or what.
I was going to say, wasn't there some Linux rumors around Palm?
There were.
Yeah. I don't know much about that. Do you know anything about that?
Not off the top of my head, but I know some listeners who do, so I'd be really interested in getting some feedback. If you want to Audio clips are best, but we'll take email as well. Chuck@chuckchat.com if you want to chime in on this discussion, maybe get it into Wednesday's show or next Sunday's show.
Feedback.
Feedback like rocks. Okay, enough of our bad imitations. Let's move on.
Yes. I saw this video. It was on, I believe it's the BBC World website. They had an interview with this hacker, and this guy got on the internet with his Windows box. It was freshly installed. I can't remember if he said it was patched at all or not. I think it may have been right out of the box. But he clearly used a dial-up connection, mm-hmm. and he got online, and within just about eight seconds, the machine was infected with a worm. They looked at the processes. It was already starting to hit FTP sites. You could see the command.exe kicking off and running FTP.exe and downloading applications, and it was starting to fill up with spyware and bots. And then it saw it connecting out to IRC servers out there to take commands on to do things. And before you know it, the thing had blue screen because it had so much garbage running on it.
So this was just a plain Jane vanilla XP box connected directly to the internet. No firewall, mm-hmm. hardware, or software.
That's right.
And it got intruded and dead in a matter of minutes.
I don't know the level of patch, if there were any, but I think it was out of the box. But yeah, it's an eye-opener to show you that, one, keep your machine patched. Two, use some kind of firewall.
That is just scary. Really,
it is scary. You know, I mean, it is something to think, well, I spend an hour setting up a Windows box and, you know, to have it just somebody plug it up the net and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a very good article. He has a big write-up, and then there's video attached to it explaining everything. So definitely check that out. Now, this story, really, I love these kind of stories. Microsoft picks on this kid. He's a college student.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no, you know, he think his income was like $3,500.
Which was comparable to mine in college.
Yeah, compared to what Microsoft takes in. Well, check this out. This kid bought... he wanted to upgrade his machine. He bought a copy of XP and Office XP, I think, for $60 in the school store with a student discount. He takes it home. He realizes that he's going to have to wipe his machine to install XP.
Right.
Fair enough.
Yep.
And so he decides he doesn't want to do that. So he does not open the software. He's not open it. It's still shrink wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to return it to the school store. The school store says, no, we don't take software back.
Right, that was their policy they made with Microsoft, so they couldn't.
Well, but in the article, I think they said actually they do that, but they told him no, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it said he had 30 days, he can get a money back refund from Microsoft. Well, he sends a certified letter in. It shows when they accepted the letter.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he got a response back, it was over 34 days, and it was denied. So he wasn't going to use the software. He was denied a refund in two places. He put it on eBay, made a little profit. I'm talking like it was like $143.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And then Microsoft comes hammering down on him for unfair competition, selling this educational software on eBay. And you know what? He stuck to his guns. He fought tooth and nail. When they took it to court, Microsoft would file with the court. You know, pleadings or whatnot, mm-hmm. he would do the same thing. For every one paper they filed with the court, he filed two more. And, I mean, everything from emotional distress to defamation, I mean, the whole works. And finally the judge said, look, y'all stop right now, because it was like 37 filings with the court. And anyway, you've got to read this. It's a long read, but...
I was reading it this evening before the show started. The interesting things that I got out of it were Microsoft did not even tweak the case, the filing too much. They changed a lot of the plural because they had a previous filing. A lot of times they do this. They just fire this letter at you, go, stop it or we'll sue you. Here's what you owe us. And people cave in. They go, I'm not going up against Microsoft's lawyers. This guy goes, I don't have that kind of money, so I guess I am going up against Microsoft's lawyers because everything they wrote me is stupid. They took a previous filing that was against two people, and every time they changed like a pronoun from...
It
was a form letter. They changed half of it from plural to singular, but then all the noun-verb things didn't match up.
Yeah, not only that, and he figured out it was this. It was similar documentation because he looked at some paperwork that Microsoft actually won a case against a company selling pirated software, and they sent the same filing to this college kid.
It just rubs me the wrong way because Microsoft lawyers are just sitting there cranking out these letters, going, "Oh, here's another one. Oh, here's another one."
Hey, get this. I liked it when Microsoft asked him. Well. He said he couldn't pay this, and they asked him, "Well, do you own a car?" He says, "Well, yeah. Well, we can use that."
Yeah, they wanted his 2002 Escort.
Idiots, man. And they pay those attorneys a lot more money than this was ever worth.
Oh, heck anyway, yeah.
Anyway, definitely go read it. I know you kind of figured out what happened by the way we're talking, but go read it. It's a great read. I swear, it'll knock your socks off. And that kudos to the kid.
Yes, definitely.
Chuck Chat is the only show that you know you can go to fill your head with the kind of stuff like Cooper Geeks.
You found a Firefox flaw this week.
Well, I didn't actually find it myself. It's been reported that Firefox has a flaw.
This is in all current releases, 105 and lower? Or 106 and lower.
Yeah, which is really the current one. So it's really easy to fix. They have a patch out. Let's see, the flaw pertains to long network addresses and the way Firefox would interpret it, and it could cause somebody to be able to run an application on your machine with a malformed URL. But it's very easy to fix, and I've got a link straight to the page explaining to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the about:config page.
Yeah.
In the address bar, you just type about:config. And if you do that, you'll see a whole list of configuration parameters. And there's a ton of them. But they tell you exactly how to go pull up this particular one. And you toggle it from true to false, and you're fixed. Or you can install the actual patch that they have, which I think basically does what you just... what they tell you to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be fixed in future versions. So version 1.5 will be out in December, but a beta is out now.
Couple of quick questions. Maybe it disables IDN. Wasn't IDN the little character thing that we had a problem with a while ago? The international character type thing where somebody would spell like Google, only it wouldn't be OO. It would be
like
different O in a different language setting that looked like an O, but if you weren't looking real close, you wouldn't see the accent or something.
It does have something to do with it. Yeah, it's exactly right. It has to do with the international, what do they call it? Domain name.
I thought everybody disabled that before when that problem came around the first time. So why would this still be an issue?
I don't know, unless it's something similar but not related. I don't know. I don't know. I'm no expert. Get off my case, man.
All right. More chance for listener feedback right there.
Yeah, but it is easy to fix, so yeah, definitely a no-brainer to do that for you.
All right. Barcode patent invalid. What do you know?
Yes. Now, I read about this a year or so ago. There's this guy. His name was Jerome Lemonson. He's actually passed away now. But he had a whole host of, a patent where you kind of assume that this is the way the market's going to go, predictive patent.
Okay.
I guess that's what you call it. Anyway, he had a whole ton of predictive patents. It's like, okay, you see IBM's getting ready to start putting memory chips in computers, so we're going to file a patent that says that, something similar to the way, things will work in the near future, and then you quote unquote got a patent on it. Like barcodes, for example, he had a vague patent about how barcodes would work in a warehouse. I mean, he And see, when did he have that file that patent? It was like years and years and years ago. Anyway, now this, of course, he's dead, but the estate still has the attorney, you know, claim running these claims on all these patents and renewing the patents and all this stuff. The man's dead, but they finally agreed that this barcode patent was not correct. And I mean, this lawyer was getting tons of money in the name of this guy's estate. And there's more to it. Now, I'm going to see if I can find the original article where they were talking about this. But, you know, if he'd have won, do you know how many everybody would have to, that uses barcodes, would have to pay up?
Is it all barcodes or is it just the UPC barcodes? Because there's like a bazillion different types of
barcodes. It's the method of reading a barcode.
Okay.
Symbol is one. You know.
Sure.
Play, yep. You know, they'd go, they'd flip out if they had to pay royalties for all these back years. I mean, it's crazy. Oh yeah, he filed it back in the 50s. Here you go. The patents were filed by Lemonson and that date back to the late 50s. They cover methods for automatic video scanning and inspection. See what I'm talking about? It's kind of vague.
Yeah.
So you have to read. I had an article, and I swear I'm gonna look for it. It was really interesting to hear all some of the patents this guy had and what they've won on. So, anyway, they said the patent was invalid, and so I'm sure Symbol is relieved, and you can hear a collective sigh of relief from them. Now, I also want to talk about Wikipedia, one of my favorite sites. You know, for a long time, I've been reading news, and I go, who is that, or what is this? I want to find out more about this place or whatever they're talking about in the news. Mm-hmm. So I've been using Wikipedia as a method of context of news. So turns out that I'm not the only one. And Wikipedia has, let's see, they've reportedly experienced 154% hike in traffic during the last year because people are going there to find out, you know, what's this or what's that. Like, here you go, Wikipedia attracted 22.3% of users searching for information about the Gaza Strip as Israeli troops were closed down settlements. It's pretty amazing because Wikipedia is this resource that everybody's kind of building on, sort of like Linux. It's I say open source. You can download the database, I believe, but all these people work on all this information, putting it all in one place, and you got this collective, you know, this big collective of information that's a great resource. I use it all the time, and I assume everybody else has been doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after this article.
In fact, while you were talking, I went and looked up IDN, and it said IDN refers to internationalized domain name, and it goes on to explain that. So it's a great way to solve acronym issues. And even when there's ambiguous acronyms, I couldn't even trip over that well. It will tell you, ATM refers to this, this, and this. You go, oh, well, that's the one I want. And you can go track that down. So, excellent resource. And,
hey, I'll give you a little tip, too. You know, in the, I don't see it on there right now, but you know, in Firefox, you can add a search engine, you know, to the little search window. Well, if you can, there's one for Wikipedia. If you select that instead of Google, and you, in an article, you right-click on it, highlight something, right-click on it, says search, and it has that word. Do that, and it'll open up a new tab from Wikipedia.
Oh, speedy. Now, we skipped right over it real fast, but for those of you who don't know what Wikipedia is, it's a wiki, and a wiki is a publicly contributed website where people can submit information, and it's basically a big... Yes, submit and edit. It's a big encyclopedia of information that is all community-founded from people all over the world. That's where I've been getting a lot of the On This Date in Tech History stuff. I just read On This Date in History and filter out the tech stuff myself. And if somebody says, hey, you know, it's this famous scientist's birthday in our country, well, somebody outside of that country may never know that, but it's now a piece in there. And if it's incorrect, somebody else can come along and correct it. So, wonderful source of information. I think it's a great way to get that. In fact, you can find some pretty obscure facts in there. Somebody actually entered Richard Vobes into Wikipedia.
I'm going to look, see if Technorama's in there.
You look while we're playing this commercial.
All right.
Make a name for yourself at GoDaddy.com. Reserve your place on the net with your own .com domain or other domain name. And now at GoDaddy, each domain name includes Economy Mail, a $9.95 value free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter TECH3, that's TECH, and the number 3 is your source code. So head over to GoDaddy.com today.
You're listening to Technorama.
I want to stick in a quick little feedback on some software we're using for the webcam. Craig and I are both using EvoCam by Evolution.com. And a while back, I had upgraded both two of the three machines that I have from Panther to Tiger. That's OS X 10.3 to 10.4. Unfortunately, when I did this, EvoCam did not want to work with my camcorder, which is my primary FireWire camcorder drive. Worked fine with an iSight, but it did not want to work with my Sony. So I kept one machine held back at 10.3 just for that case. However, when this latest QuickTime patch, 7.0.2, came out, they sent me, I did not ask them, they sent me a message that said, "Try it now." So I hooked it up, and it really worked. And I said, "Wow, that's amazing. You guys remembered I was having this issue." And then Craig tried it, and it worked for him. So they're going to have an extra sale out of that, because it just amazing me. I said, "Well, now can you solve my encoding problem with iTunes?" Yeah. I have to apologize for that. Since going to iTunes 5, the last episode of Technorama had kind of a tinny flanging sound on it, and I have the same principle. I held one machine back at iTunes 4.9 just to make sure that I could still encode things. So this show should come out much better than the last one, and we will continue.
I don't know what's up with that.
I don't know. You really... kind of confusing that when you encode something at 64K, it gets worse. So hats off, shout out, whatever you want to call it, to the
salute.
Thank you to the folks at Evological. If you're running a Macintosh and you want to run a webcam, I recommend EvoCam.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Craig. I got a double shout out. What the Chuck for you? First of all, what's up with PCMCIA cards? I cannot find a single Wi-Fi PCMCIA card that doesn't bulge. It's like they've totally forgotten that there's a lot of laptops out there that have two PCMCIA sockets, and a lot of people may actually want to use both of them at the same time. I used to have an 802.11b PCMCIA adapter, and that didn't have a bulge. It was completely flush on both sides, and I could use that and a regular and a Ethernet adapter in the same notebook at the same time. And that was great. But now you can't find a single 802.11g card that doesn't have that doesn't bulge at the top. And of course you can't put that on the bottom because it bulges, and you can't put anything else underneath because everything else bulges. What the Chuck is up with that? On a related note, apparently a PCMCIA socket cannot provide enough power to operate the card and provide full power to a FireWire port. Okay, I can deal with that. And they put a little power port on the side of it, like you see on your Walkman or any other little, or any other small electronic gadget. But then they don't give you an adapter with it. And they don't even have that little logo, that little printing on it that tells you whether the pin is positive or negative, what the voltage is supposed to be. How are you supposed to find the adapter to make this thing work? What the Chuck is up with that?
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcastexpo.com.
I should mention that Tim sent that in at the last minute. Thank you very much for that. What the Chuck, Tim. We are also giving a call out for contributors. If I'll save that for a little bit. We've got a couple more things to get through, but get to that in the end. But thank you, Tim, for that.
We appreciate that.
Craig, we need to call Lenny.
Do we?
if we don't, he'll call us back.
Yeah, so, I don't know if everybody remembers it, but a couple weeks ago, you know, he left a message saying he had something big to tell us. So I guess if we don't find out, he's going to call us back anyway.
We better find out what this is all about.
Yes, I'm wondering.
Thank you for calling Rippy's Computers. We are a world leader in computer manufacturing. Our current ranking is
1-3-0.
I think they're getting worse.
Yeah.
If you know your party's extension, please enter it now. Press 1 to talk to a support representative.
Buenos dias, soy Carlos. ¿Cómo le puedo ayudar?
I'm sorry, I think I pressed the wrong button.
¿Cómo? Perdón. ¿Tiene un problema de computadora usted? ¿Cómo le puedo ayudar?
This is Chuck and Craig from Technorama,
oh,
and...
Oh, you must be looking for Lenny. Let me transfer you.
Hello, this is Lenny. How can I help you?
Hey, Lenny, this is Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
Oh, hey, guys, what's going on? Oh, did you get my message? I have some big news.
That's why we're calling.
So what's the big news? You got a girlfriend or something?
Actually, yeah. How'd you know?
Why don't you tell us about her?
Oh, man, she's great. I met her at the comic book shop around the corner from work, and she asked me out to dinner. It was great.
Ooh, I'm afraid of that.
Tell us about your date.
We went out and had Chinese, then we went to a movie, and we head back to her place.
Her place? Oh, boy.
Yep, she brought me in and showed me your computer. Turns out she was having a little trouble with her internet connection, so I fixed that up for her, then I headed home.
So you fixed her computer?
Yeah, no sweat. I saw her today, too. I had lunch with her.
This is sounding serious.
Oh, yeah. After we ate, I noticed that she had her laptop with her, and she was having trouble opening PDF files.
Lenny, are you sure she isn't just keeping you around to fix her computers?
No way. We're seeing each other again tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going with her this weekend to meet her parents. She hasn't spoken to them for a while. They say they can't get her email.
I bet.
Well, good luck with that, Lenny. Craig and I need to finish up the show. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Have a good one.
Oh, guys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
101. Bye.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Hi, this is Eric Larson from Ericast.com. You might remember me from such sweeper lines as, "What kind of a guy?" and "You're listening to..." Well, when I'm not busy with my own dweeb thoughts, I'm listening to Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp on Chuck Chat Technorama, just like you are, right now.
Thank you very much, Eric. We'll have to see how that turns out with Lenny.
I don't know.
All right,
I'll give it a week.
A week? You're optimistic.
Until she runs out of computers for him to look at.
There's never a shortage of computer problems. He'll probably be busy for a while. The question is, will he ever catch on?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Our geek library is packed tonight. We've got all of three things. Why don't you start us out?
Yeah, I don't know if everybody's familiar with Channel 9 over at Microsoft. I think the name's kind of catchy. Over at Channel 9, they got, I think it's Robert Scoble. If you're not familiar with him, he's the big blogger from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
He runs around Microsoft and runs around with a camera and interviews people inside, which is kind of cool. You know, he just had an interview with Bill Gates, which I thought was kind of neat to hear, sit there and watch him talk outside of a keynote or something like that. They also talked with, what was that guy's name? It was Microsoft's first employee. He's been in and out a couple times at Microsoft.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're thinking of. The name is, it's drawn a blank on me, though.
Like that.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is his name McDowell or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
I can't remember offhand.
Anyway, that was a good interview, too. I watched that, and he was talking about how the iPod is good and simple, and you can learn stuff from other people's design and stuff, which ironically is what Microsoft does. But at any rate, no, he wasn't talking in that context. But anyway, so there's some good interviews on there, lots of video, lots of behind the scenes type work over at channel9.msdn.com.
All right. And to change notes a little bit, you also found former Muppet fan, are you?
Former?
Current Muppet
fan? I'm a current one. Yeah.
Now that you have kids, you have an excuse to watch the Muppets, right?
I never needed an excuse. But yes, I'll use them as one. Man, I love the Muppets, man. The old TV show. Remember Statler and Waldorf up in the balcony?
Oh, yeah. Always heckling.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to their iPod, or their podcast has been on iTunes on the front page a couple times. You can subscribe to their podcast. Basically, it's Statler and Waldorf up there heckling movies as they're reviewing them. And I just realized that they actually have a video version of that. It's on movies.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, and it's pretty funny to watch. You know, they're up in the balcony. Oh, let me tell you about this. Oh, you know, they're laughing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's not Jim Henson, though, obviously. But
no, but this guy does pretty good.
They do a pretty good job. Every once in a while, the voices do slip, though.
A little.
All right, and my Geek Library contribution tonight is www.hudzilla.org/phpbook. They've got an online tutorial to teach you PHP, and it does a pretty good job. They talk about, there's a chapter on databases, there's a chapter on just general structures, there's a chapter on object-oriented, there's a very good way to take you through the PHP mindset and what you need to do to get started on that. And of course, we will have a link to that in the show notes also. But I glanced it over after knowing what I know and realized there's a whole lot of stuff in there that I still don't know.
Hi, this is Tim from Winecast, and when I want to get in touch with my inner geek, I go to Chuck Chat Technorama. 101, guys.
As I mentioned, we are calling out for contributors. Before we go, I'd like to just give a quick check if anyone has the imagination, desire, or untapped talent out there to contribute to the show. If you're interested, run your ideas past me, chuck@chuckchat.com. Let's talk. I can't guarantee that all submissions will be aired, but I'd like to introduce some new segments, characters, skits, or whatever into the show. It'd be nice to introduce some new voices to the show other than listening to Craig and I and the occasional Lenny. So,
hey, what's wrong with me, man?
What's wrong?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can we make the list shorter and go the other way? Just kidding.
Hey.
Let us know if you've got any ideas out there. Okay, I'm done. You done? We're 42 minutes, so that's a good length.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I'm done.
It goes fast, doesn't it?
I know.
Podcasting time is not real time.
No kidding. Am I dreaming?
Wake up. Wake up.
All right, everybody.
The drum job is doing a Chuck Chat Technorama.
Well, listen up, everybody. You can call us on the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. And you can also leave messages there if you're interested in doing something for the show. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. And you can email me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And don't forget chuckchat.com for all the links and everything that we're about is there.
Chat room, webcam, mail lists, everything, forums. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Any parting words of wisdom, Craig?
Yeah. If at first it doesn't work, reboot.
Didn't I have something similar to that at one time? When in doubt, log out. Thank you for listening, and as always, a big binary high five.
101.